Hey everyone, welcome to the Cross the Crown podcast. My name is Doug Gooden, and today we continue our series, The Seven Core Responsibilities of Manhood. I want to remind you that if you prefer to get this teaching material on YouTube, you can go to the Cross the Crown Ministries YouTube page. Be sure to subscribe there, and you can watch the video lectures, or you can subscribe here on your favorite podcast player, and you can get them every week delivered to you via podcast. So with that, and with no further ado, let's get into today's lesson. As we continue our study of the seven core responsibilities of manhood, I want to go back over the ground we have covered to this point. We looked at first what we called the three R's of manhood. Rule. If you remember back in Genesis 1, God made man as male and female, and he said, rule the earth, subdue it, conquer it, go and take charge of all of this land that I have created. And he told Adam and Eve to multiply, to fill the earth with more people. Then we talked about the term responsibility and what it means. It means to be held to account. And we derive that from the Genesis 3 account where Adam and Eve sinned. And you remember chronologically, Eve is the one who ate the apple, the fruit first, and then gave it to Adam and he ate. But when God showed up to call them to account, he didn't start with Eve, he started with Adam. Adam, as the man, was responsible for his wife and for all that went on in the garden. So man is responsible. Now, of course, we're all responsible to God, but where there's a man present, he has, and whatever has been entrusted to his rule, he has the highest responsibility in that situation. So the three R's are these. Now, then we started working through the seven core responsibilities, and the first one we took from this first R here. The first one is to rule. Men are to rule, to make decisions, have authority, that kind of thing. Then we talked about how man is to produce, and we're to make things and be fruitful. And today we're going to look at the third one, and I want to read Genesis 2:15. It's the place where we got the idea of produce, or being productive, but also will lead us into our third responsibility. Here it is, Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. So the cultivation is where we get the idea of production. And then he says you are to keep it. Another word for keep is to protect. So protect, keep, guard, the word sometimes is translated. So Adam's put in the garden and he is told to be productive and he's told to guard it, to protect it, or to keep it. This comes into play with everything. Anything that you are given the rulership over, you need to protect it. You need to keep it. Anything that you are given responsibility for, you have an obligation to protect it or to keep it. This idea of keeping is an old one. When I was a boy, we would almost every weekend make a trip to southern Missouri. I was born and raised in St. Louis. But we would make a trip to southern Missouri, where my family was from. They were from the Ozark area, from the hills of Missouri. And if you've ever seen Little House on the Prairie or Dukes of Hazzard, that's very much like the place where my parents grew up and where my grandpa still lived when I was young. And we would go down there regularly, almost every weekend. And I remember that a mile maybe from my grandpa's house, my dad would take me to a store, and it was just a small store in a small home, and the store area was about the size of a living room or so, and he would have some of the basic needs, bread and milk, and sometimes candy and soda, that kind of thing. And the man who owned it was, we didn't ever refer to him as the owner. We called him the shopkeeper. That was a term used for the person who was responsible for the shop. He was the owner and he was to be productive. That was his business, but he also had the responsibility to protect it, to keep it. We see this idea in the Aaronic blessing of Numbers chapter 6. Maybe you have a wall plaque or a picture or something or a coffee cup with the blessing from Numbers 6 there. You're probably familiar with it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious and so on. Well, that first line, the Lord bless you and keep you, is this idea. And it's a blessing asking the Lord to protect us from threats, protect us from enemies, protect us from danger. Well, God here is telling Adam, I have put you in this garden and I'm calling you to be productive, to raise animals, to raise crops, but it's also your responsibility to protect the garden from threats, from enemies, from dangers, from decay, all those kind of things. As a man, that is your responsibility for the things you've been given rulership over, for the things under your care, the things you are responsible for. You need to protect them. So let's think about what that is. You have a home, no doubt. Maybe a house, maybe an apartment, maybe something you're renting, maybe you're sharing a living situation with somebody else. But there are areas of it that are yours that you are responsible for, and you need to protect it. Here's an example of something that I protected many years ago. When my wife and I were first married, I worked in a music store, and I was in charge of the guitar department. And it was a big music store. And, you know, these days we have guitar centers and other big stores. But when I was in the business, there weren't very many large stores like that. Most of them were a little bitty. But this was a big one. It had several levels and several rooms. And I had a large area of guitars for which I was responsible. So I had to put them all out on display and clean them and tune them, make sure they had fresh strings, and then try to sell them. Well, there was one guitar. We carried a line called Guild Guitars, and they're not particularly popular in mainstream music, but we carried these Guild Guitars, and I started playing one day, and I just fell in love with the sound. It was a rich, sweet tone, and so we can argue whether this is ethical or not, but I would set that guitar in an area where I hoped nobody else would ever come play this guitar. And I didn't show it often to customers because I didn't want anybody to buy it. But when I had time to play it, I played it as much as I could, and I gave it lots of attention as far as cleaning it and tuning it and that kind of thing. Well, one day, the owner of the story, Mr. McMurray, called me into his office and he said, Doug, pack up all of the Guild guitars because I'm dropping the line. My heart sunk because I loved this guitar, but it was an expensive guitar. Now, I, as an employee, could buy it at 10% over the cost, over the store's cost. But that was still a lot of money for a newly married man working in a retail music shop. Well, I took my wife out to dinner, and she could tell I was a little bit sad, and she asked me what was going on. I said, John is going to drop the Guild line, and she knew how much I loved this guitar. And here's where I realized yet again how wonderful this woman is that I married. She said, well, we have to buy it. And I thought, yeah, we have to buy it. And so we did, and I just happened to have it right here, this Guild guitar. Oh, love this guitar. So this guitar now was mine, and I was responsible for it, and I needed to care for it and protect it. And here's how I did that. I bought a really heavy-duty, reinforced hard-shell case, and whenever I wasn't playing it, the guitar was in the case. When I was playing it, I didn't wear a shirt that had any kind of buttons or anything that would scratch it, zippers, that kind of thing that would scratch the back of it. I never wore a belt with a belt buckle. I always washed my hands intently before I played it, and when I got done, I polished it up and I put it back in the case and put it somewhere out of harm's way. And on the occasion that somebody who knew how to play the guitar would come to my house, if they asked to play it, I would again make them take off their belt and anything that might scratch up. Okay, might have been a little obsessive. Right now it just sits here, and my kids, as they were growing up, they played it, and I don't protect it the same way that I used to. But that's the kind of care I had for it. I had invested a lot of money, and I was hoping that it would be a tool of productivity for me. I was hoping to make a living in music, and this guitar would help me. And so part of my responsibility for this instrument, this tool, was that I take care of it. Now, again, that may be a little obsessive, and maybe we don't need to care for everything to that degree, but that's the kind of idea, the mindset that we should have over the things given to us. So think about your home. Think about the things that you own. Think about the things that are productive for you. How do you take care of them? How do you keep them and guard them and protect them? Things like in our homes, things like changing light bulbs, things like changing furnace filters. I mean, this is mundane stuff, but if it keeps the airflow in the furnace going well and keeps the harm from happening, then that's part of caring for it. We just last week called out the furnace guy to come and service the furnace, part of maintaining it so that we have this equipment. We do the same thing with cars. You probably know that we're supposed to get our oil changed regularly, and that's important upkeep of the car and keeping it tuned up and maybe taking it to the shop to get it maintained on a regular basis. When things are in disrepair in the home, that's part of our responsibility to protect it from malfunction and from decay. Just earlier this summer, we had a clog in our sink in our kitchen, and I called a friend because I'm not particularly a handyman. Called a friend, he came over, and we figured out where the clog was. But it was getting late, and we couldn't do anything about it, except I decided, I had a few minutes before Home Depot closed, so I rented a big rotor-rooter kind of machine, and I worked hard, and I unclogged that. Well, that I could have hired a plumber, and that would have accomplished the same thing, but the point is, it's my responsibility to protect the equipment, to protect the things in my home. Now, normally when we think of protection, we think of things like burglars and robbers coming into our house. If you are in bed at night and you have a wife and you hear something go bump in the night, it is not your wife's responsibility to go see what's making that noise. It is your responsibility as the man. We are to protect our family, our wives, our children, our property. That is given to us as the men. And so we need to take that seriously and get over our fears, get over our laziness, and make sure that we are protecting and keeping the things that God has entrusted to our care. That could be security systems, that can be making sure the doors lock well, all those kind of things. Teaching your kids to lock the doors in the cars when they start driving on their own and all of that kind of thing. Protecting your productivity. Think about your job. If you are the shopkeeper, if you are the owner of the business, then it's very easy to understand what you have to protect because it's all yours. And you have a clear understanding that every penny that is saved, every penny that is spent, that impacts your business. And equipment that gets damaged, well, that impacts your bottom line. So business owners have a real tangible sense of the importance of protecting and keeping the things that make them productive. But even for those who are not the owners, you still need to have that mindset. There's, on one hand, just the integrity of taking care of other people's stuff. As a Christian, that's good. But think of it this way. Whatever area, whatever makes you productive in your job, the things, the tools, whether it's computers, things like just desks and staplers or whatever, books, any kind of equipment, relationships with clients, all of those things are things that make you productive. Well, you should care for them. You should protect them and have the mindset that these things under your jurisdiction, under your rule, are yours to protect. And so keep the equipment running smoothly. To whatever degree you have the freedom and the authority to keep equipment up to date, to replace it, to buy new equipment, to maintain it, or go see the supervisor and see if you can improve the equipment that way. Whatever you can do on a regular basis, whatever you can do to maintain good relationships with your clients. Again, the idea is you take this garden you've been put in, the areas of productivity that have been handed to you, and you protect it and you keep it so it can be as fruitful as possible. If you are a pastor or an elder, you have the responsibility to protect the flock of Jesus Christ. And we do that primarily through teaching truth and through warding off error. So that means part of our protection of the flock is we have to study. We have to know the Word of God and know good, sound biblical doctrine. And we have to teach it and feed our flock the truth so that they're eating healthy food and growing healthy. But we also have to watch out for the threats, for the dangers, for the false doctrines and the lies that want to come in. We have to know our sheep. We have to be with them enough to know what the dangers and threats are, and then we have to teach against those things. This past summer, with all that was going on in our nation with activism and Antifa and BLM and all of that stuff, in our church, though we typically march through books of the Bible at a time expositionally, we took a couple of months and we went through what we as elders believe is a very, very significant threat to the health of the church, and that is cultural Marxism and leftism. And of course, in the political realm, this was a big part of the debate between the right and the left, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, and all that. And we didn't approach it so much from a political standpoint, but this leftist Marxist ideology is seeking to destroy the church. It's built into their system. It is part of what is required for them to be successful. Well, that's a major threat to Christianity today. So in order to raise awareness in our people of this leftist approach and the democratic platform, which has adopted many godless principles, we taught the truth and warned our people that if we vote for people who are in the cultural Marxist camp, who are promoters of intersectionality and critical theory and all of those kinds of things, if we put those people in positions of power, they are going to try to destroy the church. And so we talked about that. And that was our responsibility as elders to equip and protect our people in that way. And the list could go on, but those are just some of the examples for pastors and elders. If you are a husband or a father, you have a responsibility to protect your family and to protect them from all the things we talked about already, people who would do them physical harm, problems in the home, the house, that kind of thing. But you have a responsibility to protect them from sin and temptation. Think back again to the beginning where there's just Adam and Eve, right? God puts Adam in the garden and he says, you may eat of any plant, any tree of the garden, except the one tree. That one tree you're not allowed to eat from. And then God makes Eve. And now Adam is responsible for Eve. And he had to tell Eve, we're allowed to eat from any of the trees except that one. Well, when the Genesis 3 account happens, it plays out like this. The serpent, Satan, comes not to Adam, not to the man, but he comes to Eve. And he engages in dialogue with her. And first he's subtle. Has God really said, you may not eat of any of the trees? But then he contradicts God directly. You will not die. God is jealous. He knows that you're going to be like him if you eat of that. So if you go eat of that tree, Eve, you'll be like God. And the scripture says that Eve saw that the fruit was good, and she took it and she ate it. And then she gave some to Adam, who was with her. What that means is Adam was right there watching as his wife is tempted by Satan and led to commit an act that was a direct contradiction, a direct act of disobedience to what God had said. He watched her do it, and then he partook with her. That was a tremendous act of irresponsibility and failure to protect his wife. Men, we are called to protect our wives. We need to watch out for them. We need to know what they're tempted by and steer them away from situations where they would be tempted, and rebuke them at times, correct them, encourage them. That's our job. Our wife is one of the most significant responsibilities that we have. And we can't be lazy, we can't be neglectful and just watch them go down paths that will lead to incurring discipline from the Lord. So we have to own that. We have to take responsibility for it. It's a big deal. And it's hard because nobody likes to rebuke and correct anyone, especially our spouses. But if we love them, and if we understand that we are going to give an account to God for protecting and guarding those under our care, we'll be motivated to do that. So gentlemen, I want to encourage you, look at all the different aspects of your life, your home, your work and productivity, your wife, your children, and ask yourself the question, what am I responsible for? And what are the threats? What are the dangers? What do I need to be on the lookout for to protect them from evil and from those things that would bring harm? Another thing we are to protect from is folly. And that leads us into the fourth core responsibility, which is to become wise. And we will look at that in our next session.